that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 35. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. And Proverbs 24:4. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:4. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. You see this book, this verse on the back of your bulletin of last Sunday, and you see it on the overhead projector. So you can see it in two different places, on the back of the bulletin for last Sunday and on the screen before you. James chapter 5, verse 7. I would also like to ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be looking in a few moments at verses 22 through 26. Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 26. Studying God's Word is tremendously important for every born-again believer. It is God's plan for us to have the mind, the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that that's possible is for us to do what we're doing now, and that is turning our minds away from the distractions of the world and focusing our minds upon eternal truths. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's wonderful to be able to study God's Word while cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what 1 John tells us. If we admit our faults and failures and sins, He is willing to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for tonight. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful that we are Your children, saved by Your matchless grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. We also have the wonderful promises of God for us while we're here on the earth. And we're commanded to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's no way we can do that apart from the filling of the Spirit and the intake of the truth of God's Word. And that's why we're here tonight, once again, to open our minds and our hearts to Your Word. May these be profitable moments for us. May we be able to take just a moment to turn our attention away from the frustrations and the distractions of the day and turn our attention now solely to the truth of God's Word. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 of James chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you've stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. James 5, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. Verse 8, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. I read recently of a young man who was pushing his stroller along with his little son in it. The little son was howling and crying and raging with displeasure. The people could hear the daddy saying, "Please, Bernard, control yourself. Easy there, Bernard. Keep calm. Everything will be all right." A lady walking along said, "Congratulations, sir. You know just how to speak to a child calmly, gently, and with great patience." Then she added, "Did you name that little boy Bernard after a family member? I really like that name." "Ma'am," he said, "you don't understand. My name is Bernard, and my son's name is Jeffrey." All of us, at one time or another, have had to talk to ourselves, trying to convince ourselves to be patient. I believe that the Bible has a lot to say about patience. In fact, someone said, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." There are many references that talk about waiting. In fact, there are over 30 verses that speak specifically about being patient. We know that patience is a virtue. Yet we live in a hurried up society. Many of us seemingly are praying, "Lord, I do need patience, and I want it immediately." We're looking at a passage of Scripture, verse 7. Let's look at it carefully. You see it on the screen. If you cannot see it very well from where you're sitting, please go to the back of last Sunday's bulletin, and you'll see this verse. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, unto the presence of the Lord. Behold, the farmer awaits the precious fruit of the earth, being long-suffering over it, until he receives the early and latter rain." I think you are aware of the fact that the desire that I have is to present to you the importance of God's Word, looking at it by specific words. If you'll notice, the first word that is translated there is "be patient." If you'll notice, the first word in the Greek, it is makrothumeo. Makrothumeo. It's spelled M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-E-O. Makrothumeo. Let me point out to you that it is an aorist active imperative verb. I'm going to underline this for you to see. Aorist tense means at a point of time in history. The active voice says the subject produces the action. The IMP stands for the imperative mood. It's a command. You and I are living in a time that God tells us that we're living by the Spirit. And living by the Spirit demands some very strict discipline. Not only are we to live by the Spirit, the Scripture says that we're to walk in the light. And walking in the light requires a higher standard for believers in Jesus Christ. In the light of all of this persecution, James is writing to these individuals, and I believe he's writing to us tonight. He's saying, whatever you do, be patient. Perhaps I need to remind you tonight that perhaps even this day, you've tried to tell yourself to be patient in the midst of certain circumstances. The Greek word patience is an interesting one. I want to tear it apart for you. It's M-A-K-R-O, thumeo, macro, thumeo. Macro is the word which means long or far or away. Thumeo is the word thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, which means hot or heat. So we have a compound word here. What I thought was interesting is, literally it means that we should take a long time to get hot. We should take a long time to get mad. We should take a long time to fly off the handle. If you remember a few moments ago, I asked you to look up Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires." Galatians 5, 25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And verse 26 says, "Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." Would you glance back at verse 22? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. James writes that we must develop patience so we can get through hard and difficult and trying times in life. One of the most challenging times that you and I will have will be those times when we feel that someone has treated us unjustly, unfairly. We've been the recipient of undeserved treatment. There are times when people lose a job. They have a messed up relationship. They may be suffering physically. They may be living under great financial stress. I believe that in the midst of all these things, we must ask God to give us patience. So I wrote myself a little note. Let's patiently study patience. James has some things to say. Some of you may be going through some difficult times. It may be suffering. It may be other difficulties in your life. And all of us can use godly advice on how to be more patient. What's amazing to me is that as I look at this verse, I see that it says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers." Let's analyze these words for just a moment. I've already emphasized the fact that the first word is a verb in the imperative mood, so it's a command. But I want you to also see that when you go to that second line down there, it is translated by the word adelphoi, A-D-E-L-P-H-O-I. Do you see that? It is translated brothers. If we were the nominative singular, it would be adelphos, A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. But when I look at this word in the Greek, I see that it is not A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. I see it is A-D-E-L-P-H-O-I. And that's the masculine plural. Be patient, therefore, brothers. Now, my question is, how long does the Lord want me to be patient? It says here, we're to be patient until the parousia. And parousia is the word that describes the coming of the Lord. Be patient. I've already said that it means tempered for a long period of time. The word translated patience comes to us, as I said just a little while ago, from micros, which means far away, and thumos, which means anger, heat, or rage. This is not a passive resignation, but an attitude of self-restraint. that enables you and me to refrain from hasty retaliation in the face of difficulties. Patience has been described, and I read it from Galatians, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is a characteristic of being born into God's family and utilizing God's truth. As such, it is one of those things that sets the believer apart from other people in the world. But I'm here tonight to tell you that patience is not one of those things that comes easily. There's a price to pay for patience. The easy road leads us to impatience. I don't want you to be uncomfortable tonight, but I'm going to tell you I know something about you because I know something about myself. There are times when you and I are very, very impatient. Paul reveals that the incentive to patience here is an emphasis on our Lord's return. The word parousia, we're going to look at it now, not only tonight, but in coming days. It means presence. It means advent. It means the coming of our Lord. Parousia is an interesting word. What I'm doing now is studying for next Sunday and next Wednesday night. And I'm excited, and I'm able to tell you so you can be excited. We're going to deal next Sunday with subjects like the rapture, the coming of the Lord. Next Wednesday night, 1 week from tonight, we're going to be talking about the tribulation. Have you ever wondered about the tribulation? Matthew 24:3, Paul refers to the advent in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. James here is exhorting us as believers to wait patiently until the rapture occurs. James also gives us some classic illustrations of patience. It's found right here in our passage. See how the farmer waits? I'm so magnificently reminded of the fact that on the farm we planted seeds of cotton and grains of corn. And my dad would wait for the rains to come. And I would go with him many times when it was time for the corn to sprout and the cotton seed to sprout. And we would go out and my dad would kneel down on the dirt. And I would kneel as a little boy by his side. And he would dig the dirt. And he would smile and say to me, "You see, that grain of corn is sprouting. And we're going to have a stalk of corn." The farmer waits. The farmer is patient because the value of the harvest justifies the wait. When the seed is planted and everything is done in that initial state, he doesn't go off and retire. He's working in other areas of the farm. He's waiting for the Lord's coming. He's waiting for the time to come when the grain will sprout and it will grow. And we'll have that harvest time. We should be working, I believe, and we should be challenged on a daily basis to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some time. We do not know how much time we have, but we should be using the time to let other people know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Some of the greatest missionaries of history devoted the spread of the seed of God's Word. And yet, you know what? Many of them had to wait long periods of time before they could see the fruit of their efforts. I read about William Carey, for example, labored 7 years before the first Hindu convert was brought to Christ in Burma. In West Africa, it was 14 years before one convert was received. In New Zealand, it took 9 years. In Tahiti, it was 16 years. All I'm trying to do is to tell you that the word patience means to endure under. You don't really need patience when everything seems to be going great. You need it when life is hard. You need it when suffering comes. You need it when things don't seem to be going as they should. The Bible is our guide to living life in God's way, and contains God's answers to our questions in life. The Scripture says all the Word of God is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. We're looking at some of the issues and questions tonight about patience. I believe that patience is a virtue, but one that many folks, I'm afraid, we do not have. I know that there are many times in life when I too become impatient. Sometimes I become impatient with people. Sometimes I become impatient with events. Sometimes I become impatient with circumstances. And I want to say, Lord, give me patience. And I want it right now. Let me tell you, truth produces soul togetherness. And I would like for you to write this down. Truth produces soul togetherness. If you remember last time, we put some transparencies on the screen and we began to talk about it. Adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. What I would like for you to do tonight is to copy, if you haven't already done so. Because I have three transparencies that I'm going to give you in these moments. Adversity is inevitable. It's going to happen. Stress in your soul and mind is optional. I want you to think about that because we're going to handle that subject. Adversity is the outside pressures of life. Stress is the inside pressure of the soul. In a few moments, I'm going to come back and give you about 7 or 8 points slowly so that you'll have patience with me tonight and get these points. I want to be patient with you to get the points. You be patient with me. Adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. What does that mean? Stress is optional. That simply means that you and I have choices to make. We will allow or we will not allow things to get into our souls. The soul, we've already analyzed it in the past, has mentality, awareness, all of these various characteristics. We're all aware of the fact that the soul is saved in the born-again believer. We're all aware of the fact that a person who is trichotomous is body, soul, and spirit, which means since the soul has been saved, now the person has the ability to comprehend those things in the realm that's spiritual. That's the reason why you and I must understand how fantastic it is to be born into God's kingdom. An unsaved person is body and soul, but a saved person, you tonight is a saved person, body, soul, and spirit. The person who is unsaved has the ability to comprehend physical phenomena, but you as a believer have the ability to comprehend spiritual phenomena. And you and I have the ability to understand that God has given us a system which we call the grace system of comprehension, which simply means that when we are in fellowship, filled with the Spirit, then we have the ability to receive properly the Word of God, mix it with faith, and utilize that on a day-by-day basis. Stress is optional. Now, what I want you to see is how powerful this really is. Some of you now will not think in terms of the one who sits to the right or left of you or front or back. You're just going to draw an invisible circle around yourself and you're going to say, now, wait a minute. I'm going to analyze what's happened to me this day, what's happened to me this last week. I want to analyze what's happened to me over the last few days, or the last few weeks, or the last few months. I want to find out what all has been taking place inside of this invisible circle. Have I allowed my soul to be stressed out? This thing says adversity is going to be there. There's no question about it. But whether or not we have stress, it's optional. All right? Did you get that down? The next transparency. Adversity is outside pressure in the life. Adversity is outside pressure in the life. Stress is inside pressure of the soul. Think about it. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to take this basic information and draw about 8 or 9 conclusions. Adversity, outside pressure in life. Stress, inside pressure of the soul. This is the reason I believe that the Spirit of God used James here to talk about the importance of patience. Think about it. It says, and it's so beautiful, he says here, "Be patient therefore, brethren, and you are to be patient as a believer all the way until the time of the rapture." That's a pretty good, wow, could be tonight, but it could be 1,000 years from now. We don't know. It looks like it could be at any time. But look at it in verse 8. "You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Oh, my. Adversity, outside pressure in life. Stress, inside pressure of the soul. Someone will come to me after the service tonight and say, "Preacher, you've been reading my mail. You've been knowing where I've been living." No, I haven't. I'm just talking about the fact that this is what God's Word says. Now, let's look at this next transparency. This is powerful. Rate of learning exceeds rate of forgetting. And when that takes place, truth is established. We're going to have to talk about this a while. We have to think about it. Rate of learning exceeds rate of forgetting. If that's taking place, then truth is established. The only way that you and I are going to be what God wants us to be is to have the mind, the thinking of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, if the rate of learning exceeds the rate of forgetting, then the truth is going to be established. Some of you have already gotten ahead of me. The next lines say, "Rate of forgetting exceeds the rate of learning, truth erased." You know what sad is? Not you folk, but many people don't continue their learning. They don't continue their progress as a Christian. They become excited and enthusiastic for a day or two, and then they get cold and indifferent. But look at this. If the rate of learning exceeds the rate of forgetting, truth is established. Truth established. Oh, this is exactly what we need. We need to be able to have learned all of these 300 some odd biblical subjects that we've studied over the years. Many of these are in the file boxes back here. Many of you have notebooks filled with these wonderful biblical concepts. Get on the internet and there you'll find those subjects. About 100 out of the 300. We need to put some more there. All I'm trying to do is to tell you that many of you over these years have learned and you've studied and you've applied these magnificent truths of God's Word. And the learning exceeds the rate of forgetting. But, on the other hand, if the rate of forgetting exceeds the rate of learning, truth is erased. But some of you again have gotten ahead of me. Look at that last statement. Rate of forgetting exceeds rate of learning. Here's what's going to happen. Outside pressure of adversity is going to be converted into inside pressure of soul stress. Wow. Now, I'm going to give you time to take this down. I'm going to leave this on the screen, and you can write while I'm giving these points. Let's go over it again. Rate of learning exceeds rate of forgetting. Truth established. Rate of forgetting exceeds rate of learning. Truth erased. How sad if a person is not continually advancing as a spiritual believer. What's happening is The devil is removing all of these magnificent truths from the soul. Truth being erased. The rate of forgetting exceeds the rate of learning. Then outside pressure of adversity is converted into inside pressure of soul stress. We're talking about soul stress. All right, are you ready for these points? Here we go. Number one, some of this is going to sound familiar because you've been listening to it. Number one, adversity is the outside pressure of life. Adversity is the outside pressure of life. Stress is the inside pressure of the soul. It would be interesting if I could just preach an hour or two about that one point. But I want you to just get it down and think about it. Adversity is the outside pressures of life. Stress is the inside pressure of the soul. Number two, adversity is what circumstances do to you and me. Adversity is what circumstances do to you and me. Stress is what we do to ourselves. Adversity is what circumstances do to us, to you and me. Stress is what you do and what I do to myself. Number three, adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. You've heard it, we've seen it, we've had it on the screen. Number four, stress in the soul destroys the spiritual life of the believer. Stress in the soul destroys the spiritual life of the believer. Now, as I deal with that, number four, I want to give some sub-points. And you can take these down. Stress produces self-fragmentation. Stress produces self-fragmentation. Stress produces Christian degeneracy. I want to go slowly enough for you to see this. Self-fragmentation. You know why so many believers are punching panic buttons? It's because they do not have themselves saturated with the mind of Jesus Christ, and they're not utilizing biblical principles. Stress produces... Do you have this already in hand? I thought you act like you. Self-fragmentation and Christian degeneracy. Is this going to be in our bulletin next Sunday? I think so. If you don't realize, I'm discussing some things with the secretary here. Okay. Subpoint two. Stress results in inner tensions. Stress results in inner tensions. And this causes disassociation. It also causes mental disorders and personality dysfunction. Some of you are saying, would you quit meddling now? Okay, let's do it again. Stress results in inner tensions. It will cause disassociations. It'll cause mental disorders. It'll cause personality dysfunction. Another subpoint under number four. Unchecked and perpetuated stress eventually results in psychosis in the believer. In other words, a lot of people are messed up mentally, socially, because they're messed up spiritually. Unchecked and perpetuated stress eventually will result in psychosis in the believer. Now, number five. Most of you have seen this before, but in case you didn't. Well, that's not a good pen. I have several. People have been very nice to me to give me good pens. I need to find one. Well, it's just been wonderful what people have been so nice they give me new packages of pens, and I need to use them, but I very seldom do. But we're going to do this now. I don't know who brought these up last time, but thank you for having them here. I knew what was to do. Oh, thank you. Oh. You folks see that? Can you read that? That's G-N-O-S-I-S. Gnosis. You got that? G-N-O-S-I-S. Gnosis. That's the word for knowledge. All right, let's do this. E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. Epignosis. That means full knowledge. What you do is you're receiving God's truth, which is gnosis, knowledge. When you take it, apply it, when you take it and believe it and apply it and utilize it, it moves from gnosis to epignosis. This is the word which means full knowledge. It's what we call metabolized truth. We call it perception. And when we have this, it prevents the conversion of that outside pressure of adversity into the inner pressures of stress. Now let me see if I can read this so that you can get it down properly. Number five, there has to be the conversion of gnosis into epignosis, which means metabolized biblical truth through full perception. We take in God's Word while we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We believe it. We apply it. We utilize it. It prevents the conversion of the outside pressure of adversity into the inner pressure of stress. Number six, there has to be the utilization of epignosis truth. And it results in creating what we call a problem-solving device. How fantastic this is. Two more points. Number seven, put the word defensively. Defensively. And then number eight, leave enough space and put offensively. Defensively, offensively. Under defensively, let's write this down. God has given us what is necessary to prevent the outside pressure from penetrating the soul. God has given us the necessary ingredients, whatever is necessary, to prevent the outside pressure from penetrating the soul and becoming inside pressure of stress. In other words, that's the defensive method. God has given us everything we need to prevent the outside pressure from penetrating the soul. If we could only learn this, folks, it would change our lives completely. Defensively, we have what is necessary to prevent outside pressure from penetrating the soul and becoming inside pressure of stress. I can hear someone say, "Preacher, when I leave this service tonight, I want to practice what we're hearing this evening." Well, I do too. It's important for all of us. Offensively, let's go to number eight. Offensively, we have what is necessary to remove the inside stress of the soul. That stress that is already there. Offensively, we have what is necessary to remove the inside stress of the soul. What is it? It is a consistent intake of truth that removes soul garbage. It is the intake of truth that removes soul garbage. Now, I want to put this on the screen again. Let's analyze this. Rate of learning, exceeds rate of forgetting. When that takes place, truth is established. Oh, but look at the other side of it. When the rate of forgetting exceeds the rate of learning, truth will be erased. Tragic and sad. Look at the last lines. Rate of forgetting exceeds rate of learning. Then outside pressure of adversity is converted into inside pressure of soul stress. And I see one of John's sermons coming up here. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. That's very fitting, isn't it? Do you see what verse 7 says? Be patient, therefore, born-again believers. God is wanting us to be patient. How long does He want us to be patient? All the way until the time of the rapture, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until he gets the early and late rains. Verse 8, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the challenge of Your Word. We realize that life is filled with so many distractions. We're bombarded on every hand. We realize that the satanic forces are strong. We're living in a time of intensified conflict, a time of the angelic conflict. This is a time for us to all be aware of the necessity of drawing that invisible circle around self and saying, inside of this circle, I'm going to be determined on a daily basis to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be preeminent first place in my life. We're thankful for each person here tonight. We realize that You know us individually. You know our hearts, our needs. And those who may hear this message by way of the internet, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that at this very moment, Your wonderful Spirit will help them to see that when God loved, He loved the world, and when Christ died, He died, that anyone who would believe could have everlasting life with our wonderful Savior. Because the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We're thankful for that. We know that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me. But as many as believed and accepted Him, the Scripture says, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. We pray that there will be those who will trust You even now. And we thank You over and over again that we can know without doubt that we can push aside by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and have a life of joy, peace, contentment, and happiness. Help us to understand that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.